Well, good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Charlie, and Charlie Bueller, and my family and I attend Grandview, and I'm thrilled to welcome you in the name of God, in the name of our Creator this morning. Even though we gather spread apart this morning, we acknowledge that we gather in specific places. Our church building and many of our members come to worship on unceded Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh land. And I am grateful to live where Stolo, Catesy, and Kikite nations and other Coast Salish peoples have lived and intersected since time immemorial. We acknowledge that we gather in gratitude for this beautiful land, which is a gift of grace from our Creator God. We are also reminded that despite our distance, through the work of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and the wonders of Zoom technology, we get to be one this morning. As a sign of Christ's presence in our midst, we light the Christ candle. And if you have a candle that you would like to light in your home, you're welcome to light it as well. This specific candle that I've lit this morning was a gift from one of our members that was given to us in a very dark time of our lives as a reminder of Christ's presence in it. And we light it when we need to be reminded of that. And so this morning I light this candle as a reminder of Christ's presence and binding work in our lives. I don't know about you, but for me, this week has been a bit of a roller coaster. Between an election that it seemed like everyone in the world was watching with bated breath, and with new restrictions on COVID and skyrocketing numbers pretty much everywhere, I have felt a very broad range of emotions, from jubilation to despair and everything in between. Mainly though, I've been shocked at my numbness, as I can feel myself starting to disengage with reality because of how overwhelming it can feel. And so this morning, as I was thinking about what I needed, I chose two hymns that are comforting for me that we're going to sing together. One of the things I miss most about gathering with you all is singing hymns. And so as we lean in this morning, let's call one another to worship by acknowledging the goodness of our God and by leaning into one another's presence, even though we're spread apart. Gracious God, we bring to you the broken parts of ourselves.
Hem us in before and behind.
Creator God, we bring to you the joyful parts of ourselves.
Weave us together in hope and praise.
God of new life, we bring you doubt and faith knotted up in our hearts.
Unravel our doubt, weave faith into our hearts. Draw us together and point us toward you.
In hope and faith we pray. In hope and faith we worship.
Amen.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. He speaks and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken
hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe. To God all glory, praise and love be now and ever again. By saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
I was reminded, especially this week, that I frequently put my hope in human things. And how there is no human thing that satisfies or meets the needs that I want them to. There is no world leader or president or political party that can bring peace in the way that Christ can. And so as a reminder of that this morning, our second song, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the one who holds and binds and creates all of our lives together, that we might put our trust in the one who binds us and not in places that cannot ultimately satisfy, even if the person we wanted to win won. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the God of creation. Oh, my soul, praise you, for you are our health and salvation. And all these who hear now to God's temple draw near, praise you in glad adoration. Praise you in glad adoration. The Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. You shelter us under your wings and you gently sustain us. And have we not seen how all our longings have been granted in what you ordained? To the Lord who does prosper our work and defend us. Surely your goodness and mercy here daily attend us. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with your love you with your love you befriend us. Praise to the Lord, oh, that all that is in us adore you. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before you. And let the amen from your people again. Gladly for A we adore you. Gladly for A we adore you. Let the amen sound from your people again. Gladly for A we adore. Gladly for A, we adore you.
We now have the scripture reading read to us by Katie Siamako.
Good morning, I'm Katie. I'm gonna read the scripture from the book of John, chapter 4, verses 3-29. So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for reading that for us. So as Charlie said at the beginning, what a week, eh? Crazy election madness south of the border, COVID numbers spiking, and Bonnie Henry's announcement yesterday giving us some new restrictions for the couple weeks ahead. Congratulations, you made it through another week, which in 2020 seems like a bit of an accomplishment in and of itself, doesn't it? So clapping to you all. It made me curious, have any of you played, you can raise your hand if you did, it's kind of a group game or a quiz where you're supposed to imagine yourself surviving in a desert or on some kind of a deserted island or something, and you have to say, you know, what would be your five things you'd take for survival. Has anybody done an activity like that before? Could you raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay, thank you. Well, here's my question for you, which I'm going to invite you to do another entry into the chat box. If you could go back and talk to your 2019 self, what would you tell yourself you need for surviving 2020? What is something you would include in your needed for survival 2020 list? You can type those quickly in the box and see what you come up with. No wrong answer here. Your kids, sourdough starter, a better computer, more video games, right? What else you got? A dog. Oh, you don't have a dog. Warm coat. Yes, mine's not warm enough. More hand sanitizer, a good counselor, toilet paper, of course. Cats, another cat. Books, dogs, that's great. Well, can read through those there. Healthy self-care routine. Thank you. Okay, if you haven't entered in yet, hold off. And we're gonna have a time afterwards, and we're gonna do breakout groups if you'd like to for a coffee hour, and you can share more there. But I wanna remind us today, our scripture today reminds us of an essential for survival. And in fact, it's this element that often when you do these survival lists, like what you need for the desert, people often forget because it's just so basic. And that is water. You can't survive in a desert, on an island, in the city, on the moon, anywhere without water. It's so basic though, we might forget to include it in our survival kit. And to be honest, I'm a bit concerned that as we think about how we're gonna survive the long winter months in a pandemic, we too might be forgetting about this fundamental element for survival and for our well-being. And in this case, it's the living water that Jesus is speaking about. Might be overlooking it, even while our souls are experiencing some symptoms of dehydration in this season. I wonder if you feel that way. Is your soul kind of deeply hydrated? Are you experiencing some dehydration? Well, let's hold that and consider this gift of water that Jesus speaks about in this story. And remember what it might mean to drink deeply of it in this time when so many of our plans and our rhythms and things that have held us in the past seem to be unraveling. In our story today, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman in this encounter that he can give her water to quench her deepest thirst, water that never runs out. He has water to give her that would become a spring that gushes up from within her to eternal and abundant life. It's essential, but what does Jesus mean by it? He's clearly speaking metaphorically. We know that water is essential for life, but what does Jesus mean here when he speaks about this? The woman herself doesn't really understanding kind of goes deeper as she goes along, but she does recognize it's something that she wants. And I want to know what this is, don't you? If this water is key for making it through these next months, what is this water that will gush up from within her? What does Jesus mean by that? Well, biblically speaking, living waters are connected to the presence of God. We have imagery of water in Ezekiel and Revelation. There's pictures of water flowing from the throne of God, and it goes out and waters the land around it. And we have contrasting image as well in the scripture when there's imagery of parched and dry lands. And these are metaphors for what it is to have life without the presence of God. Life with the presence of God is like a water that flows out in parched lands. And this is what Jesus is speaking about, the very presence of God springing up from within her as a fountain of life. In fact, even though it doesn't become as clear in this chapter, if you flip over just a few chapters to John chapter 7, Jesus says pretty much the same thing in a different context. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And then John explains it to us, the readers, and he says this, "By this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those believed in were later to receive." So what Jesus is speaking of here when he's speaking of this living water is the gift of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God gushing up from within. This is, of course, an incredible offering. And this water is also being offered to you, to me. Water, of course, it's so simple, it's so ordinary, and yet it's essential for life. And Jesus is telling us here, by comparing the presence of God to water, that the presence of God is just as essential as water. This water is for the quenching of the deep thirst we carry within us. It's key for survival and sustaining life. Friends, the months ahead, I'm afraid, are not going to be easy for us in this pandemic living. And I know many of you are feeling daunted and discouraged. How will we make it through? Well, one of the keys that we find here is that we need to drink lots and lots of water. More specifically, we need to drink from the spring of life, the presence of God within you through the Holy Spirit. And this is not just a nice metaphor for talking about God. This is a reality that doesn't have any substance. This is real. This gift from Jesus really is a spring of life flowing from within. A gift from Jesus. And it's not out there where everything is kind of closed down but right now, but Jesus says it's from within. Sustaining life is being offered to you. The question is, Are we drinking from this spring? Are we trying to survive in a state of dehydration? I can tell you this. There are Christ followers all around the world today, living in very extreme situations, who are drinking from this spring. And even though their lives are still hard, they are finding their spirits sustained, even in the midst of great hardship. As I was writing this, my mind kept going to some of the just ordinary people and yet deeply inspirational followers of Jesus that I've had the privilege of meeting at on different occasions from around the world. They've been drinking from this spring in the midst of hardship, and I was gifted with witnessing that their garden was lush because of it. For example, I thought of some young people that I met once in Myanmar. They were in a secret, studying in a secret seminary. We couldn't go there by taxi because they were afraid that if they got, they might get reported to the government and arrested. So they sent someone to pick us up. And we got there, they gathered together and they were eager to talk to my friend and I and tell us about what God was doing in their midst. And as we talked, I found out kind of almost in passing that they live, as most people there do, on only one meal a day, because they can't afford more. But that's not what they wanted to talk about. They wanted to tell us about the villages that they visit and the children's programs that they've been doing there to share education, and they give Bible studies. And this gave them deep joy. They just kept gushing on and on about it. Some of the deepest faith of anyone I've met. They were clearly drinking from this spring. Or I thought about another woman I met with the same friend. This time we were visiting the slums in Calcutta as we were visiting the Ministry of Servants among the Asian poor. And this woman I met was part of a social enterprise there that gave work to the women in the slums through repurposing old saris that they would stitch together into quilts or in scarves, and they could sell them in other parts of the world. In fact, I've got one here. I don't know if you can see the stitching, but this was made from an old sari quilt that these women were making. And amazingly, she invited my friend and I to her house for dinner. Though deeply poor, and she was at the very bottom of the social caste system there, she was clearly drinking from this well, and out of her deep poverty sprung this incredible generosity to strangers, inviting us to her tiny, tiny home in the slum for dinner. And as she served us this delicious, but very spicy curry meal, she explained to us that she grew up thinking she was nothing, almost on the level of an animal. But in Christ, she found dignity and belonging, she said. She told us that in the past, she would have been too ashamed to have visitors like us in her slum dwelling. But now, with the new dignity she found in Christ and the little bit of money she could now earn through her sewing and the opportunities that opened up, She could raise her head high and offer us hospitality in her home with pride and joy. And you could just see her beaming as she told us this. Don't get me wrong, her life was very, very hard. I witnessed this. But she was clearly drinking from this spring. There are others. I could tell you about the female Cuban pastor I met who walked 2 hours every day to visit the residents of her tiny rural church. She drank from this spring. Or there's the Coptic monk from Egypt that I met. He was visiting here in Vancouver, and he told us about how he would spend half his week praying in the desert, drinking deeply from the spring of God. And then he would spend the other half of his week working in one of the harshest areas in the city of Cairo with the young people there. He's one of those people that when you meet them, there's somehow you just sense that their whole being seems to glow with life. He was drinking from this stream. These people and so many nameless people around the world are now being sustained by this spring of living water, even in the midst of really hard circumstance. The Holy Spirit is gushing up within them and flowing out into life-giving streams to those around them. They're drinking from this spring. The question is, are we? Are you? I know you're thirsty. We all are. But how are we trying to quench this thirst? Are we drinking from the spring of the presence of God? Or are we drinking from poisoned wells or broken systems that inevitably run dry? My friends, this is an incredible gift that we're being offered. And it's essential for us for the next months ahead. It's available no matter what the restrictions might be over the next year, no matter what hardship or grief you may bear, no matter how much the world descends into chaos or how tight your budget may be. This is a gift that can gush out from within you, a gift of the Holy Spirit that keeps on flowing. We just got to ask Jesus to turn on the tap. And we've got to admit our thirst, ask for a drink, and then when we receive it, to drink the water down, repeat daily, hourly, moment by moment. Go to the tap, dip the cup in, and drink. And if you're not sure, what is actually, how do we do that? I would encourage you to talk to one another, to find out how others are drinking from this spring. I'd be happy to have conversations about that too, if you want to connect. But there's one more part of this story that's also key, another important aspect of this water for us to understand. In the way of Jesus, survival is never only for ourselves. The water is not only for you. The beauty of this story is that this is a gift. This gift is one that is an abundant source of life for the whole world. It is for you and it is for the world. It's not just a cup or a bucket of water that's going to run out, but you've been given an ever-flowing fountain of water. The woman at the well got this. She runs to her village. She leaves the water jar behind and she brings everyone back to the source. I recently asked a wise and experienced elderly person who's worked with many church leaders over the decades what advice he might give for me in my current situation as pastor here at Grandview. And he said simply this: always remember you are to be an aqueduct and not a reservoir. He must have seen the blank look on my face that didn't quite understand. So he repeated, remember, you are an aqueduct, not a reservoir. I still was kind of slow. I didn't totally understand. So he explained to me that the role of the Christian, leader or not, is to connect people to the source of the living water, not to attempt to be the source. He said, you're going to get yourself in all kinds of trouble if you try to be the source or the reservoir. An aqueduct is something that connects to the source, kind of this whole pipe system. A reservoir is basically a container of water that will run out unless there is a source. The Samaritan woman understood that. She didn't attempt to carry back the water for her people. She acted as an aqueduct. She connected them to the source of the living water, and through her, the whole village was blessed, even as she had additional places of dignity and belonging. The living water of Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is given for your sustenance in this season, friends. And yes, it is also given for the renewal and the mending of the world. Some of the people I mentioned earlier, and so many nameless followers of Jesus, have been drinking from this well, and their lives have become aqueducts that connected the world to the source of all life through their work with children, through repurposing old saris with dignity, through walking on dusty roads for hours to visit neighbors, through policy creation, through speaking kindly to one's enemy, through marching in protest, Bible studies, nursing the sick and dying, and on and on. The water of life is a gift for the world when it comes from the true source. So friends, as we head into the winter season, a reminder, drink deeply from this spring. It's there for you. It's gushing up, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And let's also allow this water to flow from us. When you drink from this water, it's there to flow as a blessing for the world. We'll have to be creative about how that flows, but I trust that the Spirit will flow out from your life and offer life to others if this is the place where you are going to drink. As we prepare to go to the communion table, I want to pray for us first. And as I pray, I want to invite you to acknowledge your own thirst to God. And if you long to drink more deeply from this spring of life, I want to invite you to name that to God, even as I pray for you. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this living water that you have given us, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, for the sustaining of our lives, our souls, our whole being, and for the life of the world. I want to pray for all of us here today that in this season ahead, we would drink more deeply from your well, from your spring of life. And I also pray that you would use us as aqueducts to carry this living water, to connect the world to the source that is you. May our lives be a channel of this life-giving water in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank from that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now